week. And remember, there are only 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. Alright, last week we saw the word cornerstone and the word foundation of the building. And we saw the word cornerstone really meant was, if you remember, in a building there is a foundation, there's a cornerstone. What does the cornerstone mean? It means it shows, gives the origin of the building, how it started. It gives a little description of the building, and that is a cornerstone. And we saw the word cornerstone here is Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, He is our cornerstone. And here we see church is as a building, and Jesus have given us the grace before the foundation was started, began, how our names were written in the book of life, and that before anything began, that we was God has given us grace. And also we saw the foundation. The foundation, this church is laid on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The foundation is of God alone laid the foundation in Jesus Christ. So we have a sure foundation, the church. Alright, today we are going to see where you and I fit in this building. Where we fit in. As where does the Christians fit in? So Ephesians chapter 2 verse 21 says, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, if you look at a building, there's a difference between a building that is a new building or a building that is in functional building, that is also there's a difference between a building and a building that has been hit by a hurricane or a building that has been destroyed by an earthquake. The difference is a building that has been destroyed or hit by a hurricane, you will see it is out of joint. And you will see it's not joined together. Everything is dismantled, dislocated. And the building here, it says here, verse 21 says, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And here, the building, what here is talking, what is this building? This building is to be understood of all the Christians. All the people of God. Not only here, but it is the universal church of God. That is God's building. And in the same way, the spiritual church is a building and Christ is the master builder of the building and the foundation and the cornerstone. And He has, and we, where do we fit it in? We have been knitted together in Him as we are part of the building. So we are fitly joined together. So if we are fitly joined together in a building, one could be a door and another could be a post or whatever, according to God has given us different gifts, but we are fitly joined together. So if we are fitly joined together, there is a mutual fellowship. Mutual fellowship first with Christ, because we are on the foundation. Foundation is Christ. And also, there's a mutual fellowship with one another. That means there's a unity among Christians. That means we are bonded. We are being cemented in the love of Christ. And in the faith of Christ. In the faith that He has given us. Now see, in this, once we are knitted together as Christians, we are not kind of stagnant here. It's not a stagnant building. As we are alive, church is a living thing. It's an invisible spiritual building we are talking here, and there is a growth here. See verse 21. In whom the whole building being fitted together, then it says what? Grows into a holy temple of the Lord. Now there are some who say they are Christians, but there is no growth in them. There's no growth. Now what do you mean by growth? As I said, a Christian is not a stagnant person, but is always growing. Growing into what? Growing into a holy temple in the Lord. That means growing into holiness in His temple. May I ask you a question where only you can answer? Are you growing in the Lord? Meaning, are you becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you copy Him? Are you following Him? Are you doing His will? Then you're growing. And if not, you are not growing. Is the Word of God changing in you? Is you have been changing day by day, week by week, month by month? So here we see the Christ is the foundation of the building. We see true Christians, they grow into holiness. Okay, so the Word says that we are growing into holiness in this building, right? So I told you, the word holy means what? What is the word holy means? It means separate. Separate from what? Separate from what? Separation from the world. That's what it means. Separation from the world. That means Holy One is set apart only for holy uses. If you are holy and you have been set apart for worldly uses, it doesn't make sense. Holy ones are set apart only for holy uses, to glorify God. So the true church that God designed is visible in the world. It is visible in the world. That means we are visible in the world to everybody, saying that we are Christians. But we are separate. Although we are in the world, we are separated from the world. What does it mean that we are in the world, yet we are separated from the world? It means that we will not conform to the evil ways of the world. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Hold on to Ephesians. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. And you are God's what? Building. So it goes along with it. Now see 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So here we see our body is a temple. We are a holy temple. Why are we called a holy temple? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, if the Holy Spirit is living in you, how can you be mingled in wickedness of the world? When I say wickedness, means whoever who does things opposite to the Word of God. Whoever who does things, immoral things, alright, sinful things, are an abomination to God. So we should be separate from them. All right? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." It means don't have any intimate relationships. It's talking not just friends. It's, you know, it's okay for us to have friends who are in the world, but don't have anything to do with intimate relationship with unbelievers. Of what fellowship has righteousness with the lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm sorry, then verse 15 says, "And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean." Separate. Separation means coming from them, from their filthiness to God. It is called holiness. A separation. So the Word of God says here for us not to have anything intimately involved with anything in the world. Maybe it could be a friend, maybe it could be anybody, any kind of agreement or anything like that. We need to cut it off. But we can be friends, but not intimately, not joined together. Now, that is really important for us to remember. Because the foundation, who is the foundation? Jesus Christ, right? The Lord is the foundation. He is holy. So if the foundation is holy, the building ought to be holy. If the foundation is holy, so the building is holy. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 93, verse 5. Psalm 93. Psalm 93, verse 5. "Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever." There you go. Foundation is holy. So the house of God is going to be holy. Now, how does this growth come from? How does growth come? How does it come? You might say, I want to grow in the Lord. Just like this kid asking, I want to grow in the Lord. How can you grow in the Lord? If you want to grow in the Lord, what do you have to do? We just said it. You got to separate from yourself, from the world. That's the number one thing you got to do. It means you don't leave this world and go to a mountain and become like a monk meditating. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Apostle Paul went to the cities. He didn't leave. The apostles, disciples did not leave. They were exactly where they were. They went to Jerusalem to preach the word of God. So it means that to be in the world, yet do not be conformed to the world. And do not be partakers of sinners. Stay away from them. That contradicts from the Word of God. We need to love them. We need to be with them. with the sinners. Of course, we need to be with the sinners, but do not be partakers of the sin. Just like Jesus Christ. Jesus was where? He was with the sinners, right? But he did not sin. Now, there are many who spend time in worldly things. Many who spend time on television, this, that, and so much worldly things, and they wonder why they are not growing. The answer is here, very simple. It says here, you need to have your priorities right and separate from those things and don't be caught up on those things for the rest of your life. Lord is number one. Now I'll tell you, today there is a national disaster in this nation. We all know that. How many of you have heard General Douglas MacArthur? General Douglas MacArthur said, he's the one who went to the Philippines, isn't he? Let me quote him. This is what he said, and I quote, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into economic and political decline. There has neither been a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster." Very true. We see a moral decay in this nation. And the result, there's a spiritual decay of this nation. And we see the result is a national disaster. What do you mean, a national disaster? We see homosexuality is rampant. The Bible is against homosexuality. But the judges in this nation are allowing homosexuals to marry. And many people are approving it. That means you are partaking in sins. When you vote, you are partaking in that sin. The U.S. News and World Report estimates, you know how many public schools are there in the United States? 85,000. Now let me tell you, the U.S. News and World Report estimates that more than 3 million crimes are committed in or near the 85,000 U.S. public schools. Wow. 3 million crimes are committed in the public schools or near. That means there's something wrong with the youth. Hear this. An estimated 270,000 guns go to school every single day in the nation. We are talking nationwide. One day, 270,000 guns go to schools. So, there is a national disaster, isn't it? You cannot say no. Why? America has turned its face from God. That's what America, a country where principles of government are based on the Bible, has sought to remove God from every tenet of society. What's the result? And you wonder why we are facing terrorists today. When God gives up, terrorists get in. When God gives up of a nation, there is going to be havoc in that nation. And we are in the brink of falling apart, like what happened to Rome. Rome was, exactly, we are following the same path as Rome. And the result is terrorism. The result is national disaster, what is happening like hurricanes. God will allow that to happen. And people wonder, what's going on? 3 or 4 hurricanes at the same place. Yes, we can see there is a difference of opinion even in the presidential election. One is for morality and the other one is for the majority of the people what they like to do. The other one is what people like. The other one is standing on morality. Now we as Christians, this is where we come in. We are growing in holiness in this building, right? So we as Christians should be different. And one of the differences in this, if you see this in scripture, verse Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, that in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, that means we are knitted together. As I said, we are knitted together. There's a mutual love with each other. If we are knitted together, just imagine we are knitted together. That means our hearts and our minds, everything is knitted together. There's a mutual love, not with the Lord, but with one another. If there's a mutual love with one another, there is no selfishness, no greediness, but unselfishness. See Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Philippians 2, 2. Philippians 2, 2 says, fulfill my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. That's what we need to be. If we are knitted together in one building, there everything is one in mind, one accord. Verse 3 said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. All right. If we are going to do evangelism, bring people to the church, we need to love them. And if we cannot love one another here, how can we love the others? We need to love the unbelievers. The Bible says to love your enemies. How can you love your enemies if you cannot love? There's no love within us. So that's really important. Let me give you a story here. It's a true story. I don't know whether this is on the movie Bridge on the River Kwai. In Ernest Gordon's true account of life in World War II, in Japanese prison camp, there was a Japanese prison camp in the valley of Kwai, River Kwai. And I believe that was in Thailand. So here we see about a man, how he literally transformed the lives of all the soldiers in that camp, including some of the enemies. The man's name was Angus McGilvery. Have you heard his name? No. So Angus was a Scottish prisoner, and this camp was filled with, they're all prisoners of Japanese. They're all, he was a Scottish prisoner. There were Americans, Australians, English, and so forth like that. And they were the ones who helped to build that bridge on River Kwai. But this camp, this prison camp, became a kind of an ugly situation because of the food, of rationing of food and so forth like that. And they had more like a dog eat type mentality that was set up, it set in. And survival was everything in this jungle type environment. But Angus McGilvery was different. He was different. Actually, when he died, the news went all over the entire camp. And no one could believe that he died. His death shocked the camp. But the reason that he died, they couldn't understand. But finally, they put the pieces together. They understood the true story, why he died. Now, this guy, Angus, he was a giving person. He was very unselfish. Even when it was cold, he will give his blanket to somebody else, rather he will sleep without a blanket. Even his pillow, he will give to a next prisoner. He will give anything to somebody who is dying, he will give his, whatever he has. Likewise, even in the meal time, Angus would get his rations, but he's very hungry. But he would give his meal to his friend instead of him eating that. He would get extra food and give it to his friends. Friends in a sense, the person next to him. And he would make sure that his body got what he needed to recover and to live. And one day, Angus, he collapsed, slumped over and died. The doctors discovered that he had died of starvation, complicated by exhaustion. He had been given of his own food and shelter, but he had given everything he had. Even he had given all his food to the others. Now, the word circulated of Angus McGilvery's death. The whole camp changed suddenly when they knew what this man did. And I'll tell you, then they began to pool their talents. They began to give one another. And there was a love that came among them. And there was a church that came. And this church was called the Church Without Walls. That was so powerful, so compelling, that even the Japanese gods attended the church. Wow. As unselfishness. That is true Christian love. But today we are living in a world that the television has kind of brainwashed even Christians' mind. You should have this. You have it, but not enough. You need to have this now. You need to have this. You need to have that. And everybody is saying, so you go along with it. And there is a selfishness that has centered among us, which is a sin against God. And there is no giving anymore. There is no caring anymore. There is no compassion anymore. There is no love anymore. This guy, wow, he's a prisoner at war. Just imagine the Lord Jesus Christ. Was God in heaven, emptied everything and became a servant. He gave his life so that we can live, that we can have eternal life. Wow, what an example. So, as Christians, we are different. We love God, we love one another, and we obey God. And we love the unbelievers, yet we don't sin with them. But they see that we are different. When they see we are different, that's the time they want to come and say, what do you have that I don't have? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 says, but speaking, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head of Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working of each every part does it shares, causes growth of the body of the edifying itself in love. Again we see everybody is knitted together and it grows together because we edify one another, encourage one another in the Lord. Many people join a club. You know why people join a club? Because they can share their feelings. Because somebody can help them out. Because people want to talk about problems. They join a club. That's why there are clubs. It's because they can have friends. I'll tell you. The church fellowships have become more like a club too. It's like a worldly club. It's not a club. We are not a club. We are more than that. We are knitted together. Unselfishness. Without anything. Caring the other person more than ourselves. That is the example given by Jesus Christ. They will hate their enemy, love their friends. But in Christianity, you love your friend, you love your enemy. That's the difference between a club and a fellowship. Verse 22, Ephesians chapter 4, 22. Then it says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Here, in whom, the word in whom is in Christ Jesus, we are built together for a dwelling place, that we are living for God through the Spirit or in the Spirit. Now, God is the architect of the building. The temple belongs to Him. But we are linked to Him. We are attached to Him. We have a relationship to Him. We are linked to one another in this building so we can grow and live for God. Only through the Spirit of God. If you only go by the standards and the opinions and the popularity of the world, then you are not a Christian because you are not being led by the majority or the popularity or the standards of the world. Because Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. Dr. Donald Barnhouse said, I'll give you a story. Some years ago, musicians noted that errand boys in a certain part of London all whistled out of tune as they went about their work. It was talked about and someone suggested that it was because the bells of Westminster were slightly out of tune, so everybody went out of tune. Something had gone wrong with the chimes and they were discordant. The boys did not know there was anything wrong with the peals, and quite unconsciously they had copied their pitch. So Dr. Barnhouse says, so we tend to copy the people whom we associate. We borrow thoughts from books we read and the programs that we listen almost without knowing it. God has given us His word, which is the absolute pitch and life and living. If we learn to sing by it, we shall easily detect all the false music of the world. Very true. Now, the true Christian is not led by emotions, meaning by your feelings. I feel I got to do this. I'm mad, so I'm doing this. Okay? I'm so happy, so I'm doing this. You don't... True Christian, the true Christian is not led by emotions or the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the true Christians are led by the Spirit of God, not by your flesh, not by your emotions, not by your feelings. But you want to do this way, your way. That's not God's way. So you need to settle down, pray, relax, cool down, and see how the Lord will lead you. A lot of times the Lord leads in the different way, totally the opposite way. So if the Holy Spirit is in the Christian, if the Holy Spirit is in us, the Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will give us a hunger for God. The Spirit will not lead us back to the world, but will lead us away from the world and separate from the world and make us true servants of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 7, John 14, 7, "Also, and from now on," no, John chapter 14, verse 17, I'm sorry. Jesus said, verse 16, starting from, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, Romans 8:9, "But you are not in the flesh." You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So you are not in the flesh anymore. You don't walk by the flesh anymore. You walk by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. It says, "Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious." Wow. In this building, you are a living stone, chosen by God, and it is a precious stone. Verse 5 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. 1 John 3:24. "He who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in Him. By this we know that He abides in us, the Spirit who has given us." Wow. If you keep God's commandments, we know that you are in Him and the Spirit is in us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Now what is the application? We are a city of God in darkness in this world. Wow. A spiritual city, lighting, giving light to this world. That's what we are. A city of God. What is the application? The true Christian who is led by the Spirit of God and living for God, that his heart or her heart is not set upon this earth, but set upon in heaven. The Christians prefers God for more than anything else, and has set his affections upon God alone. Why is it that the true Christian has set his heart upon God? Why is it that he has set his affections on God? Why? Why do you have set your affections on God? Why do you have set your heart on God? Is that a difficult question to answer? Do you have to think about it? No. Because God is in heaven. That's why we set our hearts in heaven. Because that's where God is. That's why we don't set our hearts on earth. That's what the world is. Simple. What's so difficult? That's why we can go through sufferings, persecutions, temptations. We can forsake all the earthly beauty, as we know that our heart is not set upon this earth, but our hearts are set on heaven, on God, because that's where our treasure is. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The Christians desire to be with God and enjoy God in heaven. If God is not to be enjoyed in heaven, then the only enjoyment that we can have is this world. If we cannot enjoy God in heaven, alright, then the only enjoyment that we can have is this earth. That's why the non-believers, they don't have God. They cannot enjoy God. So, they enjoy all they can here on this earth. All the things of the world, all the material things of the world, all the pleasures of the world, all the delights of the world. But the true Christian, his soul cannot be satisfied with these things, because God is the center of his desires. Psalmist said, Psalm chapter 27, if you turn with me to Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wow. All what I said goes along with this song. And Psalm 41 verse 1 to 2 says, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for you, the living God. Psalm chapter 63 verse 1 to 2 says, O God, thou art my God, early I will seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh long for thee, in a dry land, in a thirsty land, where no water, to see thy power and thy glory, so I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Wow. Now if you are meditating, if you are thinking, you know, a lot of murders, a lot of criminals, a lot of people who get caught to the police, you know, everything happens in the mind. Do you know that? First they think. And if a Christian, now think about it, if you are meditating on heavenly things, that's where God is in heaven, that's where God is, your heart is set upon in heaven, your affections are in heaven, you're thinking, your thoughts are those heavenly thoughts. On that, listen to this. Watch your thoughts. Watch what you're thinking. Watch your thoughts. because they become your words. So watch your thoughts, they become your words. And watch your words, they become your actions. And watch your actions, they become your habits. And watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, they become your destiny. It's very true. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. If your thoughts are not right, if you're thinking all evil stuff, you talk immoral things. Then, if you're talking things that are not pleasing to God, then you act immoral things. On the other hand, if your thoughts, if you're meditating, thinking on heavenly things, your words are going to be salt, seasoned with salt and love. Then your actions, what you do when you see somebody in help, you want to help that person. If you see somebody in need, you want to help that person. If you see somebody who is hungry, you want to feed that person. And you want to give. There is no selfishness in you. There is a love, a compassion. And watch your actions. When you do these things, you're thinking these things, you're doing these things, then your actions, it become a habit. It become a habit to witness to somebody. Because we are always thinking of this. We don't have to set up a time and say, this is the only time that I can talk to people. No. It becomes a habit to talk to anybody. And watch your habits. Becomes your character. Wow, that's a light. That's the city of God there. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. As you go to heaven. On the other side, watch your character. The unbeliever. They are hell. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God you have given us. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would go before us, all what we heard today, Lord, that we would hide it in our hearts, Lord. These are precious words of God, that we would hide it. It is cannot be bought by silver or gold or with money. It has an infinite value. So, Father, whether we would meditate upon these things for the rest of the week, Lord, not upon worldly things, not upon those things, that we will not be caught up on those things, but God Almighty, give us a desire and a hunger, your spirit, that we will be separated from the worldly things and that we will walk after you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this song.